Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read from the New Testament, the letter of James. James, you know, was Jesus' half-brother, and he didn't believe anything Jesus said during his life, not until Jesus went to the cross and then saw the tomb was empty. Then he believed, and he wrote this letter, chapter 4, we're reading from, verse 13 and 14. "Look here, you who say, today or tomorrow, we're going to a certain town and we'll stay there a year. We'll do business there and make a profit. How do you know, James says, what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog," or another translation, "like a vapor, a wisp. It's here a little while and then it's gone." Well, today, just a moment to pause, to remember and to embrace what is truly important in life. And also a moment to pause and remember a point in history, a time that we will never forget and must never forget and must share with those yet to come. It was a time 21 years ago on September 11th. We remembered again this past weekend, in particular this past Sunday. It was 9 a.m. on Tuesday, September 11, 2001, when Linda, my bride, rang me on my cell phone. Slowly, her words began to tumble out, numbing the awareness of my surroundings. "A plane has crashed," she said, "into one of the towers of the World Trade Center." She called because she wanted me to know. Reports weren't clear whether it was accidental or intentional. We heard, we prayed together, and we hung up. We would wait for further reports when they became available. Well, minutes later, she called again and trembled with the words, "A second plane has just hit the South Tower of the World Trade Center." We cried and prayed together again. We knew. The reports kept coming in, the Pentagon and Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and what we feared the most was true. It was a long day, and for some time after the events of that day, I found myself having difficulty remembering times before Tuesday, September 11th, 2001. It seems that even now, that particular Tuesday has become another benchmark in history for my life, a defining moment similar to my remembrance of the assassination of President Kennedy, the type of events which serve to awaken us to the reality of what is truly important. And even though I had no reason to believe that they were in trouble, I remember calling our children that day. They were in Tampa at the time. Linda and I both needed to hear their voices to reconnect with them that day. I'm sure many of you felt the same way. I spoke with my son Nathan, who answered the phone and shared with me that when he came home that evening, he asked Hannah, our elder granddaughter, at the time just 2 and a half, and our younger one had not been born yet, Ellie, but he asked her, "Hannah, how are you?" And she answered, "I good, Daddy." And as he shared that, he began to cry, and I did too. We cried because she was safe, but also for all those innocent people who weren't safe, who had died that morning in acts of horrendous cruelty. We cried for their families and loved ones who were left empty and would feel the pain of their loss forever. Just minutes before 8:46 a.m. on that morning of September 11th, 2001, there were people in the North Tower of the World Trade Center drinking coffee, preparing for a meeting later that day, talking and laughing with their fellow coworkers, making phone calls to have flowers delivered for a birthday or for a restaurant reservation for their anniversary. Some were just arriving at their office high atop that North Tower, hanging their coats up and getting organized for the day. And then the unbelievable occurred, and their lives and those of their families and other loved ones were forever changed. In the turn of their head, in those towers, they realized that they may be in their last moments of life on earth. And so they began to make phone calls. But you know what? They didn't call their stockbrokers to make one more stock trade. They didn't call their banker or their attorney. They didn't call to see if their favorite team had won. They didn't even call the golf pro to put in a tee time at their club or call to set an appointment for a haircut. They called to talk to their bride or their husband. They said things like, "I don't know what just happened, but it's not good." Or someone else, "I don't know what will happen here, but I want you to know that you're the best and I love you. Another said, a hug and kiss the kids for me. Tell them I love them. A woman called her husband. I'm concerned I may not see you again, and I'm afraid. I love you. A father called his son. I'm not sure what's going on, son, but I wanted to tell you that I'm proud of you and I love you. Take care of your mother. And another father called his daughter. I just wanted to make sure I told you one more time how beautiful you are and how much I love you. Our time here is limited, my friends. You know that. I know that. It's not endless. And as immortal and invincible, even through the aches and pains as we feel at times, we are not promised the next minute. At 8:45 a.m. on September 11th, on the 100th floor of the North Tower, people were pouring a cup of coffee, talking and making phone calls to set appointments. 1 minute later, 1 minute later, and the life as they had known it was forever changed. Just what James reminds us of in the scripture verse that we read a moment ago. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? He said, your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, and then it's gone. We work, we play, we have all sorts of activities and other moments we enjoy, but we also fill roles which no one else can fill. We each stand on special platforms of influence that God has given us, has entrusted to us to make a difference, to change the lives of others for the better. And none are more important than the sacred platforms, the sacred roles that he gives us as husband, as bride, as parent, or grandparent, as godparent, as son, as daughter, friend, which no one else can occupy. I'm almost positive that the folks who drank their last cup of coffee and made their last phone calls that morning of September 11, 2001, did not think that their trip into downtown Manhattan that morning would be their last. Not at all. The results of a study surveying thousands of people found that at the end of our lives, our greatest regrets won't be things that you did but wish you hadn't done. We all have those regrets, things that we're sorry we did. But that's what God's grace and forgiveness is for, where he reaches down, picks us up, wipes us off, and says, don't do that again. Go and live your life. And it's a forgiveness and grace for us to share with others as well. Instead, though, the study found that our greatest regrets will be the things that we didn't do but wish we had done. The important moments, the possibilities, the people we missed time with, and the dreams that we never acted upon, which are all now forever regrets, forever gone, missed moments. So why do we wait? Why do we wait? Are we stubborn? Are we stupid? Or do we feel we're so invincible that we're going to live forever? We know that's not true. So what do you need to change today? What do I need to change today to live the life that you and I were meant to live with the important people that God has given us? To minimize the regrets that you'll have if you don't do the important things with the important people God has placed in your life. And the most important is explained by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, when he says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. James finally did. Where do you or someone you love stand in your relationship with God? We will live forever, my friends. The question is, where? Where? Whatever you're doing, is it the most important thing you could be doing? What do you need to change? Who is it you need to call that you haven't spoken to in a while? Have you missed any of your son's or daughter's recent school activities or grandchildren's activities? Is there a friend who needs a lift up in life? We live busy lives. I know that. And we can usually justify our busyness with some reason or another, which sounds good. We're really not doing anything wrong in the context of worldly values. But my friends, listen to me, please. We can live a life where we may do nothing wrong, but still do nothing right. If you knew you had 30 days to live, what would you do? What calls would you make? How about 10 days or 5 or a few hours? That, my friends, not to be melodramatic about it, but that, my friends, is all we may have, and you know it. So go ahead, make that phone call before it's too late. Let me pray for us, Father. You know, you tell us this over and over. We see this time and time again with the loss of a loved one, a funeral we attend, a job that's lost, an illness that takes place. We see it all the time. Sadness on a child's face because we're not where we ought to be. Lord, we know the lesson. We've learned it many times. Now help us to put it in place. Help us to commit to you, surrender to you and your word here through James, to live the life with those folks you've entrusted to us to live with, the important things in life that we need to be about doing every day of our lives. Thank you, Lord, for the reminder. Poke us and prod us, pull us, carry us if you need to, and throw us into where we need to be, knowing that you're going with us. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for all you do for us and with us. In your son's precious, precious name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.